In the communion verse of today's Mass, we pray the words of our Lord. Father, I kept them whom thou gavest me. I pray not that thou shouldst take them out of the world, but that thou shouldst keep them from evil. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Saint Flavia Domitilla, she's one of today's saints, was a virgin martyr in the ancient church during the reign and the persecution of the Emperor Domitian. And she was his niece, but she was a Catholic as well, one of those souls to whom Saint Paul had actually written a letter. But she was banished for her faith, and after refusing to sacrifice to the idols, she was then burned alive. That's all they have to say about her life, but Alban Butler, the one who wrote the Lives of the Saints, says that Saint Flavia found true happiness and joy in suffering for virtue. You see, to live according to the worldly maxims and to seek to find one's peace in those things will only lead to very great discontent. Those who are always trying to keep up with the worlds and the new fashions and fads, well, they ultimately find only, instead of happiness, frequent fear and anxiety, remorse. They truly do become strangers to themselves because they know what they should be doing deep down in their heart, and they cannot bear to look at themselves with any serious intention or a calm reflection. And so they seek more and more and more to bury themselves in distraction. While outwardly they seem happy in the eyes of the world, inside, they are never, ever at peace. It is only when one finally submits to God. You see, we fight against him too much. We wrestle with him. But only when we submit do we actually win. When we submit to God, become his servants, the soul finds rest. Oh, sure, the soul will find the cross and quite heavy ones, but in that cross, she will find the peace that she has always been looking for. I think that this seems to be especially true in the case of women. You know, it was once said, the more a woman is holy, the more she becomes a woman. God's wisdom made it so that man and woman each have a very specific mission to complement one another. The mark of a man, they say, is initiative. That is why he is meant to lead the household and to lead troops in the army, so on and so forth. While the mark of a woman is cooperation. And no one showed this virtue better than Our Lady did at the Annunciation and again at the foot of the cross when she said, Fiat mihi, be it done unto me according to thy word. That was her submission to God's holy will. And so by that word, she accepted every pain, every cross, every tear, for the sake of her countless number of spiritual children. This is cooperation at its best. It is really, when you think about it, the essence of womanhood. Acceptance, resignation, submission. And in those things, woman finds her perfect liberty. Mary called herself a slave, the handmaid or servant of the Lord. Not to be this means necessarily to lower the dignity of a woman, to refuse to be God's servant. Think of it. A woman's unhappiest moments, think hard, are when she is unable to give. And her most hellish moments are when she refuses outright to give. And when she feels that she cannot give or has no one to give to, then she feels a deeper emptiness in her heart than any man will ever experience. And that because of the depths of the intensity of her desire to love, which God put in her heart. Now, connected with this idea of submission is sacrifice, because you know it as well as anyone else. There can be no love without sacrifice. If you say you love someone but do not sacrifice for that person, then there is no love whatsoever. Saint Therese put it best. Love proves itself by deeds. The only way I can prove my love is by scattering flowers. And these flowers are every little sacrifice, every glance and word, and the doing of the least actions for love. So you see what woman can be capable of. By the grace of God, women are capable of greater sacrifices than the strongest man. And why? Because her love is more constant. It doesn't fluctuate. It is constant and enduring. And because she is so very unhappy unless she totally and completely dedicates herself to the one loved. One author wrote very beautifully, "She is made for the sacred. She is heaven's instrument upon earth." Nowhere in all of this does it seem to be more true than in the heart of a mother. A devoted mother who lives up to her God-given role and vocation finds the greatest happiness and peace in the thousands of dirty diapers changed and countless hours of sleepless nights caring for an infant or a sick member of the family, and the numberless meals prepared each day. For in all of these things, she finds that necessary outlet for her desire, her need really, to give of herself, to sacrifice herself generously, completely, and in so doing, to show her love. Do you know the mother of Saint Therese? Zélie is her name. She is a model of all of these virtues that I've just mentioned. And she wrote to her sister-in-law once that she had absolutely no time for recreation, no me time. She wrote, "To tell the truth, the only pleasure I have is to sit by my window and assemble my lace." Nonetheless, without any me time, she found she was happy because she had little time to think of herself. And we're always happiest when we're not thinking about ourselves. She sacrificed herself and her time, her energy, for the sake of her family, and found in that the greatest contentment. And the care that she showed for those souls whom God gave her showed itself first in the spirit of prayer, and then of generous sacrifice, bearing the cross so as not to burden others, but rather to lead them to God. Zélie's daughter, Helen, she was one of the children who died. She died at 5 years old. The story is told that when Zélie recalled that Helen had once told a little fib, in a childish sort of conversation, that she immediately went to the statue of Our Lady, which was kept in her home, and begged that if little Helen were being kept in purgatory because of that fib, that Our Lady would release her immediately. Well, right away, in answer to that very motherly prayer, a voice came from the statue and said to Zelie, "Helen is here, here at my side." That statue that spoke to her was the same statue that later smiled upon the little flower and cured her of her disease. But I think the greatest virtue shown by this holy mother, Zelie, was in her painful illness, which she bore. Not once did she complain, and she tried to be herself an example to all of her children and her spouse in enduring it. You see, when she was a girl, Zelie had a bit of an accident, and she fell very hard against the corner of a table. And this fall caused a lump which eventually grew into a very cancerous tumor. Without ever complaining or telling anyone of this pain, this tumor, she never omitted any of her religious or family duties. And she did this without complaint for more than 16 years. So that when her pain finally grew to the point that she could no longer hide her state from her dear ones, she went to the doctors, and they all said that her case was incurable. Now, upon hearing this, you'd probably assume that she'd be a little saddened and shocked. Even the saints get a little sad at hearing this sort of news. But her only thought was to return home and to continue her daily duties unto the end. She was well prepared for death. She thought of it often and lived a very virtuous life. But for the sake of her children, she asked the Blessed Virgin Mary to cure her, and even went on a pilgrimage to Lourdes. When she was in Lourdes, she jumped into the miraculous fountain of water 4 times and said the necessary prayers. And when she came out, she was not healed. Her prayer was not heard. Now listen to this. On her return trip with the other pilgrims, her daughters were silent, sad, despondent. Their mother was going to die. But the mother joyfully joined in all of the Marian hymns being sung by the others, so that she seemed happy. And when she returned home to meet her husband at the train station, he too was saddened at the news that she wasn't healed, but quite surprised and edified to see that his wife returned just as happily as if her prayer had been heard and granted. For Zelie, it wasn't about self. There was no time to think of that, but only of God and of family. And she wrote of that, her attitude on that day. She wrote this to her sister-in-law, I believe. "That attitude of mine gave him," the spouse, "new courage, and my resignation brought good cheer to the whole household." Oh, what virtue is found in the heart of a mother. That mother's cheerful attitude was practiced not to show off, but rather it was practiced out of pure charity for her loved ones. She didn't want them to suffer at the same time. Now, to her daughter Pauline, who I guess was a bit sensitive and more so than the others and really had a hard time dealing with pain and crosses, Zelie wrote to Pauline, "Are you still angry with our Blessed Mother because she didn't answer the prayer and make you dance with joy? Don't look for much joy on earth. If you do, you will be disappointed. As for me, I know by experience that if I did not live only for the joys of heaven, I would indeed be miserable. What things are in the heart of a mother? The cancer progressed, but her faith never lessened, and she wrote to a family member, "I have resigned," there you have it, that word again, "I have resigned, submitted myself to my fate. It is absolutely necessary that I lose nothing of the little time that remains for me to live. These are the days of salvation that will never return. I wish to profit by them." By her resignation and submission to God's will, by that fiat, "Be it done unto me according to thy word," this holy mother found her peace. Her love of God led to her submission to God. Her love for her family caused her to sacrifice and bear pain silently so as not to cause them pain, while at the same time leading them by her example heavenward. This is what women, by the grace of God, are capable of. This is what mothers in particular can do. And if she faithfully accepts her role and practices these virtues, she will be able to say with our Lord, as we said at the beginning of the sermon, "I have kept them whom thou gavest me." No one can sound the depths of the heart of a mother who is totally dedicated to God and to family. Let us pray for our mothers today. May God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.